Create in us, Lord God. A clean heart, oh Jesus. Renew a right spirit within us tonight, oh God. Lord, tonight as we come to your word, Lord God, we ask once more that you would open our eyes, open our ears. Lord God, Lord God, Lord, that your seeds would fall upon good ground tonight. Lord, that they would take roots downward and bear fruit upward. Lord God, Lord Jesus, Lord, we ask that you would anoint each and every speaker tonight, Lord God. We ask for your blessing upon them. Lord God, we ask tonight, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you would continue, Lord God, as only you can do, Lord, to push back the enemy. Lord, that you would drive back, Lord, the haters of life. Lord, spiritual wickedness tonight in high places. Lord God, that your word would flow. Lord God, oh, we thank you, sweet Holy Ghost, Lord, for moving in our midst. Oh, Lord God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said? Amen. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you, Lord. All right, kids. Which one of you would like to go first? Tate. Amen. That's praise God. Amen.
So we just said the verse, but I'm going to say it again. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so the second night, Reverend Phelan was talking about the eagle side of the Holy Spirit. He talked about that the eagle side helps us fight spiritual wickedness in high places. He talked about how Jesus was in a pit of hell after the crucifixion, and Jesus waited on the Lord. And when the Lord came, Jesus' strength was renewed, and he sprang up out of the pit. The next day, Reverend Wells taught us that the definition for renewed in Isaiah 40:31 meant to spring up. And that's just something cool I learned.
Good job, Tate. Praise God. It's awesome. Amen. All right, Emma. Don't preach too long now.
Thank you for allowing me to go. It was really fun, and I really appreciated going. Like Tate already said, our verse for the whole event was Isaiah 40:31, and the theme was renewed. what I would like to talk about is in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Verse 10 and 14, where we see Saul, as he was king at the time, speaking with the prophet Samuel. Okay, verse 10. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together in Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself thereof. Therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said, Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." In verse 12, the phrase "I forced myself" really stuck out to me. When I think of forcing myself to do something. I think of incidences where I really don't want to, but I know I should, so I'll do it anyway. But when we do it, we don't do it full-heartedly. We don't do it with a meaning. We just do it to do it. And it was really funny to me because a lot of the times we will see ourselves doing that. We come to church just because we know we should. We come in the Lord's presence just because we should. But we don't really get it. We don't want to do it full-heartedly, so we don't. And that just keeps pushing us further and further back to restraining us from receiving a blessing that he appointed for us already. And so that's kind of what really stuck out to me, and I just realized unless I do it full-heartedly, even if I don't want to, I'm setting myself off more and more and being a stumbling block to myself and to others to not receiving the Lord's blessing.
Powerful. Amen. We want to do stuff full-heartedly. That's powerful. Amen. We appreciate Tate and Emma. Amen. And their willingness to share tonight. Thank you, Lord. All right, Sister Kelly, come on up and preach for us. Yes. Let me get it set up for you.
Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be able to share. I loved what Reverend said this morning about it coming from the overflow. The Lord's given me a really unique opportunity to meet theory with experience in a way that I never anticipated. But man, it's really that empirical knowledge. That's what empirical knowledge is. It's really cool to start seeing all these things that you've heard in theory all your life to start actually experiencing them. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to share. My son shared a devotion at school the other day about we shouldn't be ashamed to share the gospel of Christ. And I thought, well, no, we should not. And so I've purposed within myself that I'm going to do what the Lord is asking me to do, and whether it's comfortable or not. And man, it's uncomfortable sometimes. But he gives us the strength to do it. So let's go to Genesis 1:1 all together if we can. It's exciting whenever you really are living in the Word, when you're studying in the Word every day, because when you do that and you come together with the brotherhood and then somebody starts sharing and you're like, I literally just read that. And it quickens within us, you know. And then the next thing you know, it's like little light bulbs going off everywhere. Like all that here and all that. And I never could understand how Reverend Hicks would say, we could be here all day. We could be here all week. Or I never could understand how she would say, it's so infinite. It's so big. I just don't even know what to say or how to do it. I don't, you know, I used to be like, come on. Like, you're just saying stuff, you know. No, she wasn't. She was serious. And like Sister Wells said, someone very dear to her said one time, if you don't have questions when you read the Word, then you're not reading the Word enough. So I'm experiencing that, and it's a blessing. So this largely, my sermon notes are coming from 32:17, in case you wanted to write that down, but from a mixture of Sister Brown and Reverend Wells and Reverend Potts, some goodies, some good ones. But the basis is these sermon notes, and I would venture to say that that's what everybody worked off of were those sermon notes, because I saw a lot of principles in there that were shared at camp. So that's exciting. Okay, Genesis 1:1. We're going to get the Word up into the atmosphere, so we're just going to read 1 and 2. No, let's read 1 through 5. It's short, and we know it pretty well, right? Amen. Everybody there? All right. For it is written, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's fun. The word is fun. Okay, in the beginning, that word beginning means choice part the best. And so we all know that we believe in the gap theory, right? And so there's a gap in time, and we don't know exactly how long, but there's a gap between verse 1 and verse 2. And we know that now we're in the fourth creation. But what we can all agree on is that in the beginning was God, right? And he created the heaven and the earth. Now, does God create trash? No. No, he does not. He creates the best. And so he created the best. Psalm 139:14 says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully made means to be distinct, marked out, be separated, and be distinguished. Sister Brown tied in that verse with it, the beginning of in the beginning when God created the heaven and the earth, he created a perfect creation. And the earth was without form and void. That word was, should be translated, had become, right? This is all stuff we know. It's nothing new. Without form is to lie in waste, confusion, or a place of chaos. The word void means empty, waste, or ruin. Anybody hear what I'm hearing? Waste, right? I've been living in those waste places. I can't get off of it. And it's exciting. Like, that's one another one of those things. You know, I had that waste place sermon quickened to me by Sister Brown two women's retreats ago. And I just keep finding these waste places coming up. And it's exciting. So what made the earth a waste place? What had become a waste place? Why? Right. Well, sin entered in, right? And so Reverend has been talking with us about the stature of Lucifer. And I just thought that this really, it was beautiful because Reverend Hicks ties in Ephesians 6:12. Let's go ahead and go there. Sorry, I came to share, and we're going to share because that's what we're supposed to do. I don't know. I just felt the need. I was still going to do it anyway, so. Ephesians 6:12. We know this verse, but let's read it out. Our spirit and soul needs to hear our own voice proclaim the truth. And that's why Reverend Hicks would always have us quote the word, because then the enemy hears it, but our spirit and soul can hear it, and that helps us to hide it down. All right, everybody there, Ephesians 6:12. For it is written, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so... Sorry, I'm not fancy. So we have principalities. We have powers. We have rulers of darkness. And we have spiritual wickedness in high places. I heard Reverend pray about pushing back the spiritual wickedness in high places. God's good. He's good. Okay. Let's go to Romans 8. I'm going to do what I told Chuck not to do. Nobody wants to go to 20 verses, babe, in a sermon, so stop it. I was a jerk, man. Poor guy. He'd be like, how'd I do? You did really good, but next time maybe cut it to half of the verses. It's hard to do when you're trying to show. You want people to see it. I can't find Romans. Praise God. Hold on.
It's after Acts, Kel. After Acts. All right.
Romans 8, 26. And I will read. For it is written, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so years ago when I was in Bible quiz, I don't think, Seth, we've repeated the year since I've been a coach, but I don't know that you were quizzing in that year. Reverend Hicks talks about the publican. And you know, the poor guy comes, and then the publican comes, and the poor guy beats his chest and he's like falls down on his face and he's repenting and saying, Lord, forgive me for I'm a sinner. And then the publican comes and he's like standing up and, oh Lord, you know that I fast and I pray and blah, blah, blah. I do all these things, give tithes, you know? So she talks about that. And I looked and looked and looked in the search engine. So take it with a grain of salt. She talks about that. The poor guy, right? Is the publican a different person? Or is the publican the poor guy? Publican is the poor guy. The Pharisee or something. Okay, so the publican, when he smote his breast, he was practicing dove intercession, Paul Lall intercession, okay? And again, I can't find it in writing in the search engine, and I was looking this week, but I'm pretty certain that dove intercession is done mostly in private. It's between you and the Lord, and it has to do with watching and praying. And so when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told his disciples to watch and pray. So it's not a flashy prayer, right? The publican was not praying in a flashy manner. It's the humility side of the Father, that dove intercession. And so the dove intercession can be used to combat these three classes here that we have learned about. So principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. What that tells me is I can, in my prayer closet, I can combat these three things, okay, with dove intercession. But the spiritual wickedness in high places, it's important to denote that it's high places. It can only be dealt with eagle intercession. Eagle intercession is Paga intercession. That is what is required to take care of the spiritual wickedness in high places. What is spiritual wickedness in high places? Reverend has been talking about it. What is it? It's in our mind, right? It's in our thoughts. Fun note, this is the widow corner. This is one of those things where I'm realizing the theory meeting experience. So I don't know about you all, but I'm in this widow corner and it is not fun. And my thoughts go in some really dark places, okay? We've all been in a place where our thoughts are in dark places, or our thoughts are in dirty places. It doesn't have to be a dark place. It could be a dirty place. It could be scornful. It could be pride, whatever. It's going on in our mind. And so Reverend Hicks talks about in this set of notes, we have to have this eagle paga intercession, but there's some requirements to being able to use this eagle intercession, which is so good. So now let's go to our theme verse of Isaiah 40, 31. She also talks, I'm getting ahead of myself. So Isaiah 40, 31. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Okay, I'll read for us. For it is written, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Sister Michelle, you talked about this morning how just like the children of Israel, we're being called, the cloud and fire is moving, right? Our church is in a really cool place. The cloud and fire is lifting, and it's moving us to Little Flock for a season. They were in the wilderness for a season, right? But I thought, man, that was so cool, because she talks about in this set of notes that the eagle carried them how many miles? 120 miles in one night. All together before planes, trains, and automobiles. Yes. Over 1 million people. I think it was over 1 million men, right? 1 million. Okay. A lot of people. And all their stuff, all the stuff that the Egyptians were like, here, take this. They're hauling all the stuff that they're going to use for that tabernacle, right? So the eagle lifts them up on eagle's wings and carries them 120 miles. Key word is they. They is a brotherhood word. That word wait means to fast and pray. Darn it. I know. So she puts wait here. Let's see. Wait upon the Lord. Oh, strength. Which I thought was weird that it wasn't renew, but that's what she put there. Strength and then mount. And then eagles. Okay. Eagle intercession. It is only done as a brotherhood. There is not one eagle intercessor. So in order to obtain the eagle intercession that we need to combat the spiritual wickedness in high places, they, us, the brotherhood, have to come together and wait to be renewed, to spring up our strength, right? So then we can mount up on eagle's wings and we can soar. That word wait, in addition to fast and pray, it means to bind together. It means to bind together with the connotation of strands bound together to make a rope, right? We know that the reason why a rope has its strength because it's little fibers or little strands, little hairs, whatever, little thread twisted together. That's what that word wait has the connotation of, to be twisted together. We can't twist together or bind together if we're criticizing, murmuring, complaining, and having a bad attitude. Shocker. I thought, man, I've had a rotten attitude a lot lately. She says that when we wait upon the Lord, we'll be joined together as one army, so that we'll then be a whole flock of eagles, and we'll be able to take down the spiritual wickedness in high places. In particular, the female wicked spirits who are battling to break the unity of the brotherhood. And the spirit that tries to prevent us from taking our lover hearts up to be made with the fathers, made one with the fathers. Okay? Hebrews 4:12. You don't have to go there. I think we all know the word. We all know it. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When the word divides, and that divide, that to be separate, right? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're to be separated. We're divided out, pulled out from among. God has to divide, put us in a separate place, a painful place, because that's when life comes. And I didn't know if I was supposed to share it, but I'm going to share it. The Lord told me in my prayer closet last night that I'm having to go through this dividing of myself so that I can be joined to a closer oneness with the Lord that I wouldn't have had I had my husband here the whole time. So that answers the why. Doesn't take away the how long or any of the other things. But man, when he divides, life can come. Let's go to Proverbs 6:20. And I'm not saying that the Lord is punishing me or that I've done anything wrong. I want to be very clear. I believe that his word is true. I believe that he is good. And I know that this situation for me is what I need to grow so that I can reach the place that God has called me to be. So I want to be very clear to say that. But when he divides, we have to go through the dividing. If we don't have that dividing, we don't have the discernment, right? The word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But we don't have that discernment if we don't allow the word to first divide and separate and cut out the things that are not like the Lord. We have to have the word to do that. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." This is so cool. I have a friend in particular right now who doesn't think she needs to go to church because she has this prayer and study life at home, and that's great. We're supposed to have a prayer and study life at home. That is the most important. That's what Sister Wells said today in Sunday school, right? Personal first, family second, two privates before you have a public ministry, right? This scripture in particular, keep thy father's commandments, has to do with the oral word that comes from the pulpit. Forsake not the law of thy mother has to do with the written word in our personal study. You have to have both. We are getting ready to go into a season where it will be very easy for some of us or all of us to not want to go. And I had no idea that Sister Wells was going to say the things she did in Sunday school, had no idea that Reverend Wells was going to say the things that he said this morning in the Word. And so when they were preaching, I thought, well, okay, because I thought maybe I was out of the will of God. Because if anybody has something to say about church attendance, I mean, I don't think that I'm the one to be talking about church attendance. I will say that since Chuck has passed, the Lord has really given me a conviction that I cannot shake, that I have to be here. I have to be here. But I didn't know why until I started studying this and following the breadcrumbs of what was left behind from camp. You know why? Okay, we have to have our personal prayer life and our personal study life first. Because if we're all the time dragging in our junk, we're expecting our brothers and sisters to then bear that portion of the burden. And like Sister Wells said today in Sunday school, we have to carry our own soldier's pack first. So we got to carry our own burden. So we have to be a soldier in the Lord's army. Like Reverend said this morning, we have to polish our sword. You don't just do it once and put it in the closet and let it collect dust for 2 weeks and then expect you're going to whip it out and do some spiritual battle. Like, that's not how it works. So we have to have our personal prayer life, our personal prayer and study life first. But we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We know that that's the manner of some. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So, if we, and I'm trying to make connections, okay? If I've got to have a personal prayer and study life, okay, I do. I know that, right? Why does it matter so much for me to come to church? Well, because in my personal prayer and study life, I can handle these things. But man, when I get here, I'm in trouble. If I think that I'm going to do it from home, because guess what? That eagle warfare does not come by myself. Reverend Hicks says that scripture about the spirit maketh intercession, that's the pawgaw intercession with groanings, and that's the screeching of an eagle. Reverend Potts, he's so funny. He's a hunter. So, you know, he's like, have you ever heard an eagle make its noise? And he does like the scream. But he wasn't wrong. That's why we have to have that flock of eagles when we come together as a brotherhood. That's what combats the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why I've got to get here. That's why the Lord has given me the conviction, because my thoughts go really dark places really quick. Literally had the victory in service this morning. In between services, lost the victory and felt like just death all over. coming into church with my thoughts. It all was in my thoughts. And so the Lord has given me that conviction. I didn't understand it until this week because I need you guys. You guys have been bearing my burden for me and helping to push back that spiritual wickedness that's trying to pound my head all the time. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful. We have an opportunity right now where we can either mount up, we can let this really push us and catapult us into that next level of whatever it is that the Lord's calling us to, or we can let ourselves fall into that lackadaisical, I'm just going to stay home, little flock's a little further for me, it's a little bit crummier, or I don't know, I've not been inside, but you know, it's just not as, it's not as, it's not home. I don't feel home there. You know, I don't want to wait till 2 o'clock. By the time it's 2 o'clock on Sunday, I'm going to have been, you know, elbow deep into some project around the house and I just don't have time. And, you know, I can't get showered and there in time. I'll just listen to live stream. No, that is a lie from the devil. We have got to come and be in person. We have to be in person. We have to have the brotherhood because we can deal with these three things, but, I don't know if you're reading it the way I'm reading it, but this stuff is the stuff that's really hard. Yeah. That's scary. It's scary, the things that pop into my head all of a sudden. I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? You know? But we've got to have each other. And so where's the tie between our personal and our personal prayer life and study life and our public or the brotherhood prayer and study life? What binds it all together? Well, what of the Lord binds us together? The blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. So Reverend Phelan did this demonstration, and I thought it was so beautiful. And so I wanted to do it. I'm almost done. But we're going to bind ourselves together with this blood thread. And so Reverend Wells is going to, we'll weave it through the aisles. But I am praying that you guys will join me. I would entreat you, beg you. I felt, Sister Michelle, was it you that said we needed to get around our pastors today and pray? That was beautiful. I felt the Lord's, I'm not trying to sound like Sister X, but I felt the Lord's pleasure with us doing that. Okay. This is our opportunity to decide either we believe what we say we believe or we don't. We have got to put this into practice. And I don't know, you know, the Lord took my husband and I don't exactly know what's going to happen with that. But what I do know is that it has really pushed me into having a deeper, closer personal relationship with the Lord. And it is fun, the stuff that's happening to me. And so I want to challenge all of us, get a hold of the blood. This is the source. Reverend Wells said today, we have to be plugged into the source. This is the source. If we are faithful to stay plugged into this Monday through Saturday, when we join together at 2 o'clock on Sundays and at our usual 6 o'clock on Wednesdays, we will have this in common. And all we have to do is just plug it in. I envisioned it some sort of like a, you know, like a Marvel movie, like, you know, we all get in and it just kind of links us all together. That's what I envision it, that will happen to us. And so I want to invite everybody to stand. I'm done. Let's hold on to this blood. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let's not forsake our prayer and study life this next several months, because it's going to be a while before we are in our own space. And it's going to be really easy. You know, the first couple of weeks of something new are always fun, but then the fun wears off and then, you know, the like reality of it sets in. So let's remind ourselves to stay connected. We've got to stay plugged into the source. And when we do that, when we come together, then it's going to be like, you know, supersonic blood connection or something. And we're going to be bound together. And then when Reverend or Sister Wells or Brother Shockley or whoever is sharing the word, because we are faithful and we're in the word, those connections happen And we get the experience of having the theory meet experience, and we get to obtain that empirical knowledge. So if you all will please pray with me, and then Emma, you'll cue up our song. Let's just spend a few minutes loving on each other, encouraging one another. That's what we're supposed to do, encourage one another. So I encourage you. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for helping to combat the spiritual wickedness in high places, in my high places. And thank you for loving me and my kids. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just bless you, praise you, and thank you for this spiritual family that you've given us. We know that you've given us such a gift, Lord, of unity in the brotherhood today in Owensboro Christ Gospel Church. Lord, I just ask that you help each one of us to plug into the source, Lord. Bind us together with your cords of love, Jesus. Bind us together with your blood. Help us, Lord, to stay faithful to our personal prayer life, our personal study life, and then to come together and join in the brotherhood so that we can join that flock of eagle intercessors, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. The love of Jesus.
Together, nothing can stop us.